Cougar season. All right, and we're barcasting from the Limelight here in Midtown Sacramento.
Woo!
My former place of employ and Joel's current place of employment. And today joining us is our friend Sarah.
I've never worked here.
Sarah never worked here.
No.
She's merely a patron.
Merely a patron who is merely a patron.
Yep. Patronizing.
Exactly, as we speak.
You could say.
Sort of.
And so we're going to try to deal with the traffic and the outer noise, and it'll be fine. I'll just actually have to edit this, probably.
I think
a nice change.
I think it'll be fine.
Oh, awesome. Great. Yeah, the heater got him. Heaters get me all the time.
They can be rather...
Oh, my God. Samboni catches fire on ice.
Yep. You come on like a flame, but you turn a cold shoulder, fire and ice.
I have to admit that's pretty funny, though. A Zamboni catching fire while it's on the ice.
That is hilarious.
You must have gotten overworked. Oh.
So what should we talk about today?
Last
episode we talked about Joel's vacation.
We did.
And I need to go on vacation. Sarah's got a Monday off. So he came down to have a couple cocktails. Joel's having the Colorado Bull Dyke. And what is that exactly in that drink?
Colorado Bull Dyke. I'll be honest with you, I don't really remember what was in it originally when I first drank it, but what I told him to put in this one, which I like a lot, is dark cream de coco, Kahlua, Bailey's, Frangelico, 151, Bacardi, and cream. Shake. Bang, you're done.
I was thinking creamy liquor.
Yeah,
I like it because it tastes like a chocolate shake.
Yeah, like automatically means you're gonna get a hangover.
Not me.
I think you just. Like,
I wake up still drunk usually.
What would be the difference between buying chocolate milk and putting a shot of vodka in it between that and a Colorado Bull Dyke?
Tastes better.
Does that also have Coca-Cola in it?
Like nope.
Okay. Well, how'd you get the Colorado name then?
I don't know. It's what someone called it. When he
Colorado
gave it to me the first time he gave it to me.
You know, I'm anti.
There's a Colorado. I'll
have
you know, though.
Swear words in the name of a drink, like an adios motherfucker, whatever. That's just a dumb name.
I agree. Listen, I agree
it's
with you.
Stupid.
I agree with you, but I'm just telling you that's what it was called when it was first given to me. And it's actually in recipe books, best by knowledge.
I mean, just
so.
Naming stuff with swear words in it. Unless, like, I kind of do that. I guess I do that for. It's kind of funny for a temporary thing, but.
Well, I think it's funny because you also don't have necessarily a problem with swear words themselves.
I just don't see them in a place in naming things, I guess. It's not subtle, it's not clever.
What if the drink's called the Fuck Buck?
Yeah. I would, maybe. But
I mean, because then you're not even masking anything. You're just going, can I have a Fuck Buck?
Yeah. Well, that's... See,
would that be better, though?
I think when you use the swearing in it, right, like a Colorado motherfucker, then maybe you're just kind of like, it's not clever. Where you're, it's really taking the place of doing something clever.
I understand what you're getting at.
Where a fuck fuck's kind of clever, just because
that's all you're saying.
It's blatant. Yeah.
It's so ostentatious of saying that.
Yeah, that's different.
And it could really be any kind of drink.
It could, just something that really gets you really intoxicated.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even going in that direction at all.
Well, why else would you get fuck fucked? Because you're really fucking drunk and you made a bad decision, went home with somebody you probably shouldn't have, but you got fuck fucked.
They already have names like that, like the zombie or the...
Mind Eraser.
An empty grave.
Empty grave. Red Death.
Yeah. Or is there one that's like a graveyard, or it's a graveyard, and it's like everything.
There's a couple of those that are like that, and there's
graveyard
also,
is everything on the well in a drink.
There's also something to dangerous called prairie fire, or God forbid you get talked into doing a match shot.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've done that to a few people.
Man. God.
Yeah, some kid, I got him, he did a match shot in here, and then he came back in, or his mom came in. His mom goes, "You gave my son a match shot." I'm like, yeah. Probably. I mean, I don't really seriously ask anybody to do it. I suggest it. If they actually do it, I go, okay. You know,
sucker.
I don't really twist their arm. I just, you know, I just bring it up as maybe it's something they
he
should do.
He just looks for the weakest gazelle in the pack.
Yeah. Or the oldest. Hey, something to prove.
Either one. Either one will work. Yeah. As long as you're stupid enough to do it. And that's the thing. I mean, what's that? 40 plays on table 5.
All right, I'm going to play some 410. I'm going to play some 917. Hold them.
I say when you walk into a bar, you know, if you're stupid enough to get drunk enough to be that suggestible and that stupid, yeah, well, you deserve whatever sickness you get the next day. Yeah. Outside of alcohol poisoning to the extent of coma or death, that which usually only takes place at, you know, frat parties, yes, where people are trying to prove their worth by drinking as much straight alcohol as possible.
It was like the 40 and 40 or something, 40 shots in 40 minutes or something.
I haven't heard that one, but I knew...
Power of power.
I know of several parties where they'll make pledges like, you know, take large belts off straight bottles, you know, I mean, like, just tilt it back and gulp as much as you can, and if you can't get to a certain part, you get belted or whatever, and that kind of shit. And
like,
I'm like,
punched in your face?
Well, I don't know. I'm usually paddled, I think. But
belted.
Belt with the belt.
Yeah.
With the belt, strike him. The belt. Some kids walking by.
Young people.
Young people on bikes. Speaking a foreign language because they're Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And that's what you do when you get out of school.
These
goddamn English speaking school. I'm gonna speak my own language once I get out of there.
Yeah. That's what I'm all about.
Fuck those Americans.
Yeah. I'm an English as a second language student. It's my culture. The thing I like about America, no culture. It's all
That's
transient.
Not true. You figure it out once you leave it.
It's pop culture. It's a different kind of culture.
It's commercial culture, man.
No, yes, but also, I mean, there's a large... This is the true, as much as I hate to say it, because it gets turned into pop culture and commercial culture almost instantaneously, but this is the true wellspring of rebellion.
Like,
you know?
I mean, like when people say it's my culture, like they're single-handedly responsible for creating the whole...
I don't think they mean that.
It can be your culture, because culture is only decided or created as a result of a group of people living in commonality.
Yeah, but I don't think they mean that. I think they're just trying to connect themselves with something, just like people go, my Oakland Raiders. Nobody owns the Oakland Raiders but Al Davis.
Well, they're both stupid.
Well, I agree with you completely. I'm just saying I don't think either one of them is saying, this is mine, I came up with it, I own it. They're just going, I'm a part of this.
My implies ownership.
Well, they're misusing the words, what I'm telling you. Because they're idiots, they're stupid. They have no recourse to build an individual identity, and they'd rather, you know, succinctly leak it up to some, you know, mass-consumed, you know, market brand mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I am my Hummer. I am the Oakland Raiders. I am NorCal.
Sorry, you said Hummer.
That's right, I said Hummer.
So people can't own a Hummer.
No one.
But these days, no. These days,
giving it.
Shit, I could probably go get one.
Lease it. And you can make payments until you die. But owning it is a whole other thing.
I'd like to make some death payments. Oh. She parked.
No, that's his block. That's her block. Yeah, but that's his block, not ours.
Yeah, park in the...
Yeah. Let's call back over there. That's her.
Nice stuff.
There's some doings happening.
Well, you know, Al, who owns the cleaners next door, apparently those people over there who work here, they think he's about to tow his wife's car because it's improperly parked because his wife's in here at the Limelight, not at the cleaners. And
I'm sure he knows what he's doing as far as parking.
Well, knowing Al, he could be towing his wife's car and know what he's doing.
Oh, well, that's an interesting relationship.
He's an interesting individual.
My horoscope says that I should be reading books on intimacy skills, like Relationships for Dummies or The Complete Idiot's Guide to Romance.
Mm.
That's kind of funny.
Are those actual books?
I think so.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm sure they are.
Why wouldn't they be? It sounds like they'd sell.
All right, hey, let's speak into culture. That's a good point.
Can we go to Borders after this?
Sure.
Go to where?
Borders.
But here's the thing. Here's a quick topic that we thought of. Off the top of your head, 5 worst Ben Affleck movies.
Oh, yeah.
Reindeer Games. Geely. those before Reindeer Games, but Geely Reindeer Games.
There's no order necessary.
I hate to say it just because of the way they did their parts in the movie, but I don't think it's like the worst movie they've been in necessarily, because I think those two are far worse. But Silent Bob and Jay Strike Bite, Strike Back.
I never gave a crap about watching
I don't want to say Jersey Girl because I actually like the film.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't think it was all that bad.
I own it. I don't really like it.
What movie?
Jersey Girl. Yeah. Didn't think it was all that bad, though. I mean, it's not Kevin Smith's best, but at the same time, it's not Geely by any stretch of the imagination. That was a complete bump. Oh, man. I can't explain to you how bad that was.
There's some other movies he was in.
The only reason I didn't walk out of that movie was because I refused to walk out of a movie. And I went to that movie for free.
See, I actually have walked out of several movies.
I wouldn't do it.
My first was Leviathan.
Wow, you walked out of that, huh?
It scared the shit out of me. It was the last scary movie I think I've ever watched. I think I was about 13. It scared the shit out of me, and I screamed out loud and got really embarrassed.
Is that comfortable?
Like that? Doesn't bother me.
And so then I left. And I walked out of Evita.
What would you like me to do? Hold it here?
I don't know.
Hold it here? You want me to hold it over here? You want to hold it on my head? What would you like me to do? You think maybe you can move a foot or two away?
Uh-oh.
How's that? I don't know. Just an idea. You're not rooted into that chair at that exact spot. It's not really working. The wind's blowing that direction. You can keep blowing it in my face all you want.
Ooh, I keep blowing it in his face.
Uh-oh.
Actually, you can blow it up my ass. It feels better there.
Okay.
Really?
Well, if he does it with a nice hard... Yeah, it's kind of nice. You never had that?
I don't... Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to go with no, but I can't be certain.
Here's what you need to do. You need to buy you, like, full leather outfit, all right? Next time you have a guy at your house, just go into your bathroom and go, I'm going to get a little more comfortable. He's thinking, yeah. He's sitting on the couch. He's like, all right, something's happening. Come out in the full dominatrix outfit.
Handcuffs.
And just see, if he goes along with it slightly, you've got carte blanche to just tie him up and do whatever you please.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just saying it's an idea.
Thanks.
You met LCDNT?
LCDNT? What's that stand for?
Lowest common denominator, new teeth.
Oh.
Keep that on the show already.
LCDNT. Okay.
I don't know, maybe you're overestimating the amount, the frequency of which I get a man back to my apartment.
All more my point.
One, two, three. Aww. One, two, three. Aww.
Well, I wasn't looking for sympathy, but thank you for your...
You're welcome.
Contrived bullshit.
It was very contrived. It was very juvenile.
Juvenile.
Wasn't condescending at all.
Juvenile.
Also.
I'm just thinking it'd be an interesting, you know, way to find out where people stand on that.
I met a guy who was looking for a dom.
You just ask them.
We were having a conversation. I said something off color, maybe about a ball gag. It comes up.
Why not?
And
it's
this,
funny.
This guy, it is funny.
Instant comedy.
And the guy that was there said, oh, are you? And, like, he's like, I've been looking for a good dom. And he, like, slipped me his phone number. Okay, 40-year-old black man. No.
I'm just saying, it's, you know, it could be a source of great entertainment and pleasure for yourself. Not to mention maybe some extra financial windfall.
Yeah.
You know,
or maybe a horrid memory you try to bury for the rest of your life. That's more likely what it could be.
The older I get, the more I realize that I'm basically a lazy person. And the idea of, like, being a dominatrix seems like it's going to be very
involved. A lot of work, yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to be in character and focused on something for a long time.
Yeah.
So those are the cons.
I also don't even see anybody.
Yeah,
anybody.
I don't even see the good side to that. Like, what, you know, I could only put, like, you make the list of pros and cons to decide whether it's something you want to do, decision you like to make, and I only see all the con side. I don't see any pros.
Outfit's very expensive.
Yeah.
True.
You gotta get paid good.
Unless you go vinyl, but that's gonna be itchy and maybe a little bit more sweaty than the leather, I would think.
You do latex paint and then body paint.
No, never on the good stuff.
They sell it in jars.
Yeah, they do.
That would require an incredibly close shave also.
For me to do that, I'd have to be like on some kind of drug the whole time.
To be the submissive or the dominant?
Dominant.
When I'm on drugs, I can't keep a... I have no train of thought now.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Just an idea. Just an idea. Ideas come and they go.
Alright, so we're not on the dominatrix thing.
No, not anymore.
We've agreed.
I was never.
Which, if you
into
realize,
it
means I'm not going to blow smoke up your butt, because that even.
Yeah, I know.
That even too.
Which,
that's
which,
even approaching.
Which sucks, because
some sort of a dominant.
I was
thing.
Starting to look forward to it, but if it's off the table, well, oh well. I can dream. I've got dreams to remember.
My friend Chris got himself a little black lab puppy.
Yeah.
And it has renewed my thing.
Your what thing?
I want a dog.
You want a dog?
I want a dog. I've wanted a dog for years. I wanted a dog since I broke up with my ex, and he kept the dog. And that's 6 years. I've wanted a dog.
That'll do it.
And then I put it off because of my lifestyle, and I travel a lot.
What kind of dog do you want?
That. Big.
Big. Well, what do you mean by big?
100 pounds.
Okay. That's a dog.
I want a dog.
Yeah.
I don't want a yapper.
No, you want a dog. You want a dog. I get you. I miss my dog. He wasn't 100 pounds, but...
I could go for 80. I'm just ballparking.
He was 80, 85, just but like solid rock muscle, Staffordshire Terrier mix. So, yeah, he was German Shepherd, Staffordshire Terrier, so he was kind of long and tall.
I don't like a curvy tail.
He didn't curve all the way. It was like, he had a slight curl to it, like a curve, but
a lap.
But it was more straight. And he had the big pit bull head with the Frankenstein bolts. Very obedient, pretty smart, but realistically kind of dumb as a post when it came to, like, you know, just, you know, I don't know, awareness levels. Just, but he was very trainable, very obedient.
I want a dog. This little dog, you could actually eat it. It was so cute.
Buster could have eaten him.
That's probably true.
He could. Oh, man. He was funny. The first couple months I had him, he ate more non-edible things in that apartment than I thought could be done.
You had him in an apartment?
Well, I had a yard.
Oh.
And I would leave the doors open when I was gone, so he had the whole run of the... It was basically his house. I just rented the sofa.
That's nice.
He had a big dog house and a yard. Lots of things to bark at on the east side of town there. You know, he had a great life.
What happened to him?
I had moved.
Did he go to the farm?
Yeah.
Big farm in the sky?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay.
Austin was instituting a new plan at the time where it's possible he might not have gone to a big farm in the sky, but I don't want... I'd rather not discuss it. That was...
That would be hard.
I took him there because, from what I understood, he had bitten somebody when I wasn't there badly, but I got wrong information when it was too late. I found out it was wrong information by the time it was too late. Because the people he'd bitten, the guy who owned the property had built a new house in the front yard, and there was these three co-eds living in it. When I say co-eds, I mean female college students. And they had a dog of their own. They had a golden retriever, and him and Buster were great friends and all, but apparently one time one of the girls, I wasn't there, and this was just before some kind of like vacation break type thing, so they all had left by the time I got back. And I just heard this from other people. And it's just, you know. But she came into our yard, so. It's hard to fault him, but I realized I didn't really have much of a choice to a certain degree with the way the law stood, so. I was under the impression they were gonna do something, you know. So it was up to me to do something now or have somebody, like, forcibly take him from me, so.
That would be sad.
Joel misses his dog.
I miss my dog.
Buster was a developmentally challenged child who stayed 3 years old and was really furry.
My dog was smart as a whip.
He was too. But at the same time, like I said, I mean, he could go run into posts and just be like... I'm just saying he was kind of a lunkhead is what I'm saying. He liked the rough housing. He was smart and obedient, but, you know, when I wasn't around, he...
Oh, my God!
He can be a little nuts.
We've got the America in trouble.
And no Gay Scouts.
It's a tough one.
I guess so. I know that all the pedophiles that become scoutmasters are pissed off at that because they're thinking, man, this is my chance to meet a life partner. Like a Padawan life partner. And
pedophile
you're taking
doesn't
it,
ever want a life partner.
You're taking it away from me.
Doesn't work that way.
You're killing my joke, you know that?
Sorry.
We're bringing up the realism of the situation. I understand a pedophile doesn't want a life partner.
He
wants child
life.
After child after child after child.
Exactly.
I understand it's not
Thailand.
Finding your favorite flavor. It's about trying all the flavors you come across.
Come across. Good one.
I think the Boy Scouts could get out of this trouble if they stopped calling themselves Up America.
Probably. But they won't.
They become the private Boy Scouts. They can have whatever the fuck rules they want.
But they don't
want
to do that. They're the BSFA.
Yeah. Naming yourself doesn't actually mean you're affiliated.
Really? Then I'm Sarah Taylor of America.
Sure. You're allowed to be that way.
You are, though. Weren't you born here?
You pretty much are.
I'm Joel Cano of America. I was born here.
We're not an organization, so.
No, we're not.
You can start your organization and name it anything.
Sarah Taylor's of America.
You want. You can start a group
and
of other Sarah Taylors.
You don't
I
have
a few of them.
The first rule can be you don't have to be a Sarah Taylor to be a Sarah Taylor of America.
Yeah.
No, I'm only
or
a
you,
cooking
or
Sarah
it can
Taylors.
Be. Yeah. See? But then what if...
But I'm only accepting Sarah Taylors that are not gay, that like high heels, that wear makeup,
yep.
Get their hair done.
That's what you're allowed to do.
Basically,
and you can
I
still call it
of
America.
Stoa. Sarah Taylors of America.
Stoas.
You Stoa? Yeah, I'm Sarah Taylor. Meet someone at a bar. What's your name, sir? Really? What's your last name, Taylor? Oh, are you Stoa?
Are you in the Sarah Taylors of America?
Actually, as a matter of fact, I am.
In my elementary school, there were two others.
Two? Wow.
Sarah Michelle and Sarah something or else.
Sarah Michelle Talar.
Mm-hmm. And then when
she changed her name Galar
I was
to
still
be...
in Modesto, my doctor had me and Sarah Michelle. So when they would, I would call them my appointment or whatever. They're like, "What's your middle name?"
Sarah Michelle Jessica.
What is your middle name?
Joan.
Joan. So you're an SJT.
Mm-hmm.
Sigit Toa. Oh, see, look, dude. Truth wins out. That's the name of his group. Does that mean they always tell the truth?
I guess so.
Can their charter be revoked if they don't tell the truth once?
Do they have a charter?
I'm assuming since they're an organization, they have a charter. Most organizations do have a charter to actually want to be taken seriously. They need to have some kind of starting point.
Though the odds are good that no
members of the group,
need to follow the charter.
Yeah.
I'm going to branch off a second just because I wanted to. But normally, people listening now aren't listening anymore. So
yeah, the 10-minute rule.
So it's not gonna matter
I'm
that
gonna
no one hears this.
I'm going to make everything 10 every 10 minutes now.
And since no one's hearing this, it doesn't matter. But I would just like to personally, publicly say that I think it's a travesty that the University of Hawaii does not get to play for the national title.
I'm going to take this opportunity to leave.
Seeing that they were the only team of all the Division I football teams...
Division 1A.
Yeah. That went undefeated. Regardless of their schedule or their competition, they should have an opportunity to play for the national title game. They've won more... They've lost less games than anybody else.
Yes.
They've scored more points than anybody else.
They also have the longest winning streak in the country.
I think they deserve a shot.
Yep.
Even if it's like some mismatched affair that no one thinks they can win, what does that matter? After Appalachian State beat Michigan, and after Boise State beat Oklahoma last year in the Fiesta Bowl, and after, all the things that have happened this year where little teams beat big teams that weren't supposed to, it's like, that isn't that the whole reason they play the games?
Yes.
And I know you're not against me on this in the sense that you hate the whole BCS, saying someone's number one, number two in the middle of the season, all that kind of crap anyways.
Yeah.
But
now it's the end of the season.
Exactly. And now at the end of the season.
Yeah.
all these people are going, they're not even making a joke that maybe they deserve it, you know?
Yeah.
All the talking heads, no one even, it's not even funny to insinuate that.
Yeah, but here's the thing about sports is that basically all the people involved in it aren't terribly forward thinking, and they're locked into a mindset, you know, that they kind of do things the same way over and over again, and change isn't really encouraged with any rapidity.
You're right. And that goes beyond the economics of it.
Another mindset is, if you're not in a big conference, then you're not worth as much.
Right, and that goes beyond the economics, because, I mean, I think that's there from very traditionalist, like, the way they think about things. You know, like, you know, the tradition of Auburn or LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame mm-hmm. holds more weight than the simple fact that somebody else is playing better from a small school.
Yeah, or a small conference, or less distinguished, or... It's a bunch of crap, and they tried to set it up like in the major leagues. You notice they only have so many teams because it'd be unmanageable.
Right, to have 60-something teams.
50, yeah, like just with the big conferences, there's 60 teams.
Yeah,
you know, plus probably 68. And
yeah.
You can't
just those six.
How is that going to be a playoff in football with that many teams?
Well, you can't obviously.
You can't
have
that many games.
Well, here's what I think.
They're going to want them to play a quarter of their season or a third of their season in the last month if you're one of the good teams.
Here's what I think they should do, and this is why it's not going to happen. If they wanted to have it be a true national champion, what they have to do, in my opinion, is abolish the whole conference structure as it is, in the fact that those...
I would agree with you.
I mean, to where you have basically a whole conference that encompasses all the Division I-A teams... That,
well, they would have to play like 8 games, and then after that, the conference schedule's over, and then
right.
You go for a playoff.
But I'm saying your top one or two teams in each conference is
yeah.
maybe the number two guys have to go into a pool with all the other number twos, and you take the top four of those or whatever. But my
yeah.
point is, it would make the conference games and the whole regular season mean more, and then you would have a legitimate playoff structure from all the teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't just have, you know, your 6 power conferences, and then... Maybe if somebody's really good in your those 2 minor conferences, those 3 that are there, maybe one of those teams gets kicked in. It's like that doesn't.
Well, they want to fundamentally change the game. What they really need to do is fundamentally change the scheduling, instead of keep adding games more and more. But
I agree.
But see, the only people talking about it are everybody on television and the media who are going to make more money off that.
Right.
Nothing is. They never talk once about, well, these are college students and they have to go to college. And they should be studying because they're college teams. That never comes up because all those dudes on TV wanted and newspapers is write more columns and go get paid to watch more games and talk about more games. Get paid, I mean, they get paid more and more and more.
But,
and the athletes are irrelevant to them. They want this grand scheme of where it's all going to be perfect for their job and for them to talk about shit. They don't give a crap about the students. They pay a lip service. Just because all they're doing is doing it to enrich themselves, and I'm wrong.
Hey, 30% of those students don't give a crap about their fucking education. They're there to further their career.
Well, whatever. There's more than 30 students on every team.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, you know, what do we, basketball has a ridiculously long season. They got the whole March Madness thing. There's tournaments on the beginning of the season. Before the season even starts, there's tournaments at the end that aren't even involved in the NCAA. Those guys are missing tons of days of school.
I
you know?
Didn't say that was a good thing either.
I'm just saying right now, the way they have it structured out, you got your teams like in your SEC and your big conferences that have a championship game, you got them playing 14 games in a season already. I don't see what harm is doing if you shorten that regular season like you were just saying to like maybe 8 games and then had a playoff structure that if you went the whole way, maybe added another 6 more. That's 12 games, I mean.
That's 14 games.
Whatever. 14, 6, 12. Okay, math major.
You're approaching a professional level schedule with students. And also,
no, I'm
every
comparing
time those guys play another game,
now.
They're risking their futures. The more chance those guys go out and play, the more chance they have of getting hurt. So,
well, that goes without saying.
They
risk a chance getting hurt every time they step on the field, whether it's second game or last game of the season.
And then... Okay, but they still are risking being hurt
more often because
more
they
often.
Have more games?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, yeah, that's horrible. You ask any of those people if they would rather have a chance to play on the field for a true national championship and out of playoff structure, whether they... I mean, you ask them what would weigh heavier to them, to their decision, they'd rather play an extra game.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I know I would.
Well, that's your opinion.
If I devoted all my time and energy into something like that, knowing that A, an injury could take away this livelihood, or B, I could not make it to whatever professional sport I'm playing, or even make it there and then an injury take me out, like some freak injury, even a traffic accident, you know, I would want to get as much glory or satisfaction out of this as I could. I've devoted and sweated and sacrificed so much time to this. I want to be part of a champion. And if I had a chance to be a part of a champion that was like an undeniable, no one could say, yeah, this or that, which I think might be impossible, well, then great. I would go for it. That's all I'm saying.
Right on. Well, we're going to have to see what happens on that one.
Because, nothing. That's what's going to happen. Because you're right in everybody, yeah, in the sense that they're not going to change anything because they're not. They don't want to change it slowly.
Anything. Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's where you hit the nail on the head more than anywhere else. I mean, the whole fact that people don't want that kind of change. The sports directors, the conference directors, board of directors of each conference, they don't want that change. But I just want to go on the record and say that I think Hawaii should have gotten a shot at the national title. That's
well, according to Joel, Hawaii got screwed.
That's right.
And Grandma Moses is coming to the Crocker.
Awesome. On that note, we're going to stop because we've done a half an hour.
Anybody who's listening, by the way, Grandma Moses is coming to the Crocker.
In Sacramento.
So get down to downtown Sacramento, go to the Crocker Museum and see a piece of American history. Grandma Moses.
Hey, there's the cage fighting card dealer.
Yep.
He fights in a cage?
What's his name?
He does mixed martial arts, Brad.
Brad.
He's a good guy. He's really
nice. I like Brad.
I know another Brad who does mixed martial arts.
He's a tremendously nice guy for being someone who goes out for blood.
I've seen him fuck around with Tiny.
He's big?
Tiny's a large individual, and he's actually very, very quick. And Brad gets the best of him every time. And Tiny mentions how, I know if we were like messing around like in the ring, you know, sparring, he goes, I know he'd kick my ass. He'd kick my ass. And I was like, are you serious? Brad would kick your ass? And he's like, I don't doubt it.
Brad trains.
He knows.
Only Tiny trains.
Not anymore. Not since he was in the Army. Of course, he's one of those guys where, you know, when you're his kind of physical stature, you really don't have to train that much.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a little insight about how tough some guys at Limelight are. So don't mess around with them here.
Yeah, they're tough. So what? They'd crush you, but you know what? If they do that, you can just sue them.
That's why a really small dude invented guns.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
It's true.
I'm not sure that it's true, but I bet he wasn't.
I think
big.
It is true, actually. I think the guy who invented the first
pistol?
The first, the Colt 45 Peacemaker. The Peacemaker. The Great Equalizer. I think he was a small guy in stature at the time. I think he was like 5'4", 5'5".
Joe Pesci. Loves guns. Small dude. All right, that was another cougar season.
See, that's the thing with guns,
though. Say goodnight, Sarah.
Goodnight, Sarah.
You don't have to be a big guy to have one. You have to have a big guy to use one.
To shoot. Easier to shoot. They're big. Less to miss.
Cougar season.
From Mad Rooster, LimelightStudios.com. Go to LimelightBar.com. You'll go to my other podcast. Shout out Heffy Show.